Hello, Cancer, and welcome to part two of your birthday reading. This so far exploration of the way you are going to do something really unusual and beautiful for yourself and for the world, and what some of those ingredients are. Now, notably, I've been talking a lot about your chart above the horizon. What two particular houses in the external world, the most elevated houses, the ninth and the tenth, and then there's one that's kind of on the margin, which is the sixth house, which is often involved with other people because there's this element of service involved. And so typically service implies that you are in a helping role, and to be in a helping role, there needs to be someone to help or to serve or so forth. So there is also very exciting stuff going on as we move into the inner realm of your zodiac, in particular, the first few houses of your chart. And this talks more about, well, let's just jump right in. I would say that the biggest news of at least this year, and something that's going to influence much of coming year for you, is Venus retrograde. Now, Venus does not have a specific direct association with the sign Cancer, but Cancer is an important feminine sign, and Venus is a planet of the goddess. And in our zodiac system, in the system handed down to us by the ancients, we get two goddesses. We get Artemis, the moon, and we get Venus. Now, there's many, many more goddesses that have come through the minor planets and other important discoveries, but let's just remember that these two critters better be allies and working together. And so in a prominent place in your chart, there's going to be a Venus retrograde. And by prominent place, I mean that it is mainly taking place in your second house, the house of self-esteem, the house of self-value, the house that is associated with your available resources, what it is that you actually do have to live and to grow your home base, to grow your family, and then the pool of resources that you draw on for all the work you do, all the service, all the sharing, all the creativity. And you're blessed to have on that house the sign Leo. It is entirely your second house, again, using the whole sign or solar houses systems, which we use to do this work, which are a good basic tarot spread to do this work. And there is going to be this Venus retrograde in your second house. What is that saying? Okay, well, first of all, Jupiter has been in your second house. And so this has been, there has been some information this year coming to you about how to value your work, how to evaluate and value, in a sense, to cost it out, to price what you do, basically, right. But it's not as simple as that. I mean, because price is not always a measure of value, and it's not always an accurate measure of value, but it's important when you're working in a meaningful way and live on your reputation, which you are going to be doing for the far foreseeable future, that you ensure that you have established your value and that you price your work appropriately, based on your value and what the market will bear. Now, I say this less to be materialistic and more because I understand how difficult it is for we humans in the current market economy to be able to make the connection between our true gifts and something of worth that gets a result for people and for yourself, and that result being the service you provide on the one hand and the way you're able to enrich your own life on the other. It is very challenging. And I think that one of the main things in the way is this thing loosely described as self-esteem. And what self-esteem is, it is an evaluation of yourself. It is your ability to recognize your value and therefore have a mode of interrelation with others about that value. And having counseled many people and been through many phases of my own creative life, and having ultimately learned how to support myself in a company through purely the expression of ideas, really, ideas and service, I've got some experience with many people in doing this, and I see the struggle that people have to really connect with the value of what they are doing and then be able to extend that into their environment in some way, in a meaningful way. And it turns out that there is something that is very much associated with your ideas that you are valuing, evaluating, revaluing, considering. Now, remember that in order to make money, you need to either sell your labor, your time, or your ideas. You have three main options. And the notable exception to this is banking, right? Or gambling in some form of speculation. So you can also be a speculator. I'm not so sure that you're much of a speculator. You need the solid, the meaningful, that which connects, that which has actual value. And this is associated with Leo on the second house. Leo is the sign associated with gold, with the sun, and with the center of the solar system. The second house is associated with value. Therefore, to you, the concept of value is actually valuable. There's no faking that. There's no desire to fake that. There's no desire to make something seem more valuable than it is, for example. You want things to be seen for the value that they actually have. And the way your chart is organized, Virgo is on the third house. So your chart proceeds from Cancer to Leo to Virgo. So they're the first three chapters of the story of your life. And as we go into the third house, we find that this is a realm of ideas and communications. It would be in anyone's chart. What makes your chart so interesting is that you have Virgo on this house. And Virgo is a sign of ideas and of mental process. But it's a very practical sign of ideas and mental process. It's not so abstract like Aquarius, for example. It is applied science. It is applied technology. And it is, therefore, ideas of applicable value. And the story of this Venus retrograde that begins in late July and that ends in September, but it really is part of the story of your entire year. And since Venus is retrograde so little, will tell a lot. Because Venus then kind of becomes this expression of Virgo and Leo. The retrograde begins in the first degree of Virgo. And so as that happens, that is indicating the presence of an idea. It looks like it could be something very specific. But I will leave room for there to be something that is more general, that can be split apart and divided into certain sub-projects, or that is just a viable idea. But the conjunction to trans-Pluto, a hypothetical point that no one besides me probably uses anymore. A couple of people probably do, but it's not, it's fallen out of favor, but it's there and it speaks. And what it says is specific, narrow focus. And so there is, it appears as if an idea is born that you then get to unravel the value of, that you get to explore and experience and examine and develop, I think, above all else, the value of. I want to check on the pattern of conjunctions between Venus and Jupiter. This is very exciting that this is happening for you in this region of your chart, because what it is doing is saying there is astonishing potential to what you are doing, and the power of that potential is pointed to as something real, tangible, not just a promise by Venus. See, Jupiter can have a thing about, you know, promising a lot and having a lot of potential, but there has to be some element, some agent that makes that potential into real and something tangible, into a thing of actual value, and that would be Venus. So we have just experienced a Venus-Jupiter conjunction, and there are going to be two more. Let me tell you where those are going to be. Okay, this is really fun. The second of these three conjunctions between the two benefic planets, as inherited from ancient astrology. The first one just happened. It's present in the sky as we speak. We can see it now. Those are those two bright planets that are overhead. When you can see Venus and Jupiter, it means there's going to be a retrograde Venus, at least. And that Venus retrograde makes a second conjunction to Jupiter in Leo on August 4th. So there's an exact conjunction in Leo. Now, that is pointing to the value piece of this. Now, what has happened before that second conjunction is that Venus has proceeded into Virgo, and there is the birth of an idea, and then there is a development process where that idea grows and is nurtured by you and ferments, that develops all throughout the late summer and autumn here in the Northern Hemisphere, other seasons in the Southern Hemisphere. So through the latter part of the year, you get to work on, develop, and cook this idea. And I suggest you do it in a trusting, an excited, and positive way. Now, I don't know what this is, but it looks brilliant to me. It looks real. It looks tangible. And I know from lots of experience working with creative people, and that includes people who are creative and successful at manifesting and creative and who struggle to manifest, perhaps not having the resources, the experience, or the discipline, that there must be a conscious cultivation of an idea to make it real. And I'm suggesting that you trust this, whatever this is, and take that journey with this idea that you have. Now, what's going to happen then is Venus is going to retrograde back deep into Leo. It will station direct. It will recross Leo. By that time, Jupiter is in Virgo. And Venus and then Mars will re-enter Virgo later in the year. And this now is, we have gone from a process of evaluation into a process of direct and bold expression. And this seems to be something very closely connected to the heart and soul of who you are. Now, if you are not involved in some form of independent work, and these days most people are, even if they're, you know, I ran into a detective on the streets of Kingston the other day, and then I met him for a second time as the mysterious caterer of this famous barbecue that I go to every July 4th, right? There's a barbecue on July 4th in Town of Olive. And it is, you know, well known, and people come from near and far to come to this barbecue, and it's a come one, come all, and there's this legendary barbecue guy who runs the thing. I have no idea who this was. Well, it's this detective. It's Aaron. Hey, how you doing? Isn't that exciting? And here he is, you know, serious career, and on weekends he is well known for this very artful thing that he does. We all have this on some level. We're all looking for that thing that is the thing, that thing that is interesting, that is the next great thing for us or for the world. This is what's brewing for you, and it is part of a much larger process of an expansion, a growth, a development, something, all happening together. So you've got a lot of factors that are working for you right now simultaneously. And that's when you can really get things done. It's never really just one transit that helps you get things done. It is when there is this combination of factors that all add up to a kind of a perfect storm of success. This looks like what you have got going on. So remember that there's a series of stages with this idea, that there is the idea itself, and then there is the sense of your own potential. There is the unraveling the value and seeing the wisdom and the brilliance in this idea. And then there is the addition of drive to achieve, to accomplish, to materialize, to get this done and brought into reality. And it looks to me like there is something here about either. It could be an invention of some type, a communication concept of some type. It could involve technology. It could involve a community project. Very important third house theme. It is likely to have attributes of all of the above, and you will know it when you see it. But that is the basic identikit. All right. So this will keep you busy. It will keep you involved, as will many other factors. And the story of your chart seems to be the story of going from wide, more sweeping concepts of success and of idealism and of faith in yourself and of your reverence for something about existence into the increasingly pragmatic approach to things. And that pragmatic approach backs all the way into the dollars and cents and value and worth of it all. And so part of this Venus retrograde process is about becoming shrewd with resources, not just money. Money is one of many resources, but becoming shrewd with resources, and your most important resource is your body, and then your mind, and your community, and your value system, what is important to you. Then we have things like money, and we have things like your knowledge base, your books, your tools of your trade, the things that you use to earn your keep, whether or develop your ideas. And so there is something about maintenance of what you have already created, particularly if that thing created is some form of a work tool, a thing that you use to create with. I mean, be musical instruments, maybe your photography equipment, it may be your computer equipment, it may be all of the above, it may be your car, it may be your home. Whatever that is, there's something here about understanding the price of things, the cost of things, understanding the value of the money spent, and then understanding the value of the resources you have that exceed money, including money, and making sure that you are being clever about how you apply those resources. Spend money where it needs to be spent. Don't spend it where it does not need to be spent. When something is getting a desired result, that's a thing to invest in. And so I see something here about a growth process around money, a growth process around understanding how money works, you know, right down to bank accounts and taxes and investments and taking that seriously. I recognize I'm speaking to people on many different levels and of life experience and of growth and of commitment. And clearly there are some of you who have learned the value of bookkeeping and who have learned the value of having some expert help with the structuring of your finances. And the structuring of finances is important when there is not much money, and it's important when there is money, because when there's not much money, your resources need to be used well. When there is money, you need to make sure that they are not wasted. Often when there's an expansion of income, there is also a disproportional increase of waste. And you want to prevent that disproportional increase of waste. And so part of what we're doing here during the Venus retrograde is becoming an expert at your own resources and what they are, what they're worth, and doing what I call A resources inventory could be very helpful. That is a total inventory of what you have that is of value. And I don't mean every pair of shoes or whatever, but you could include that you have and value quality clothing. Sure, you might include that as that. But I also mean all of the assets that are involved in the creation and preservation of your wealth on whatever level. There's likely to be an opportunity to reevaluate certain investments that you have. And I think that the most significant thing you can do is make sure that you are investing sufficiently in your own well-being and in your own projects to make sure that they have the growth base that they need. I would suggest less investment in others and more investment in yourself. That can include less time spent assisting others and more time spent making sure that you have what you need to get done, what you need to get done. And that includes the cultivation of some form of community cooperation. And my sense is this needs to be a narrow community rather than a wide community, a narrow focus rather than a wide focus. Very gifted specialists, for example, rather than generalists, right? So you may find a consultant who's very good at one specific thing that you need, and that's the job that they do. It could be any number of things. I mean, I have someone who's very good at making websites look the way that I want them to look. She's kind of our appearance specialist. Kelly, her name is Kelly Janes. And she has a very valuable job working at Planet Waves because she has the power to program the website to look a certain way. That is of inestimable value to know someone like that. And so what I suggest is that you be very conscious of your community, of the people in your community, and leave no stone unturned seeking the knowledge. First of all, finding out what people know, what specific things they know, and then considering where they may be of collaborative interest. You have many, many people out in the world right now seeking to collaborate with others on something of value. So the world right now is populated with people seeking these opportunities. I suggest you be a seeker of the seekers and really get a sense of what people are made of. Because the indication is of community, but narrow focus and specific assignment and specific task. Now, this type of focus is specified in a number of ways, and it's related to the use of your resources and the structuring of your resources, right? So how you value things, how you structure them, and then how you put those resources to work, top level priorities for you. Looking at the chart for the Cancer New Moon, which is the chart that I've selected mainly as the chart that tells this story for you, quite an intriguing chart, and I'm really glad I picked this one. There is a what you might call a discussion of the Pluto in Capricorn phase of your life. So let's talk about that Pluto in Capricorn phase of your life. This phase spans from 2007 to 2023, I believe. It is a fairly long phase. Pluto is slowing down in the speed that it goes through a sign. It's was going very quickly through signs over the past 30 years, and now it is slowing down somewhat. And if I'm recalling correctly, it's going to be in Capricorn well into the early 2020s. I think 2023, 2024 is when it starts to move out. So Pluto is halfway through Capricorn right now. And the reason this is so important for you is that it is about your relationships. If you're Cancer rising, Capricorn is your seventh house. If you're Cancer sun, it is your solar seventh house. And if you have a Cancer moon, Pluto is in a long process of opposing your moon. It may not be there yet, but for our purposes, it is having its influence. And as someone with Capricorn on the seventh house, your tendency is to take a structured approach to relationships. You are something of a traditionalist, and at the same time, Capricorn tends to be, at least in my experience, a sign associated with gifted revolutionaries. So there is something about progress indicated by Capricorn. And it may be Capricorn's association with the structuring process, which is in itself a process of change. So if we say the Capricorn represents mountains, those mountains got there through a process of change. And if you're a poet or a geologist or something, you can imagine those mountains coming up out of the ground over billions of years. They didn't just get there one day, and they weren't just always there. And so Capricorn implies change, and Pluto in Capricorn implies a kind of radical restructuring. And you've been involved in this for a long time, particularly since 07, when Pluto first touched the first degree of Capricorn. And this may be kind of an odd time in your relationships. You may be finding that you are seeing a lot of changes in the way they happen, that you are experiencing some intense, driven situations. It may seem that you are under some unusual pressure that you don't understand in your relationships. And if you're tuning in, you may see that that pressure is about taking seriously this whole experience of redesigning and restructuring your relationship concepts as a conscious act. And with Pluto only halfway through Capricorn, it's still necessary that you hang loose and that you be open to being a kind of a steward, a facilitator of progress. Now, this may not always be easy, and it may require you to do something unusual, which is, in particular, this year, to be direct and focused with people you perceive as being more powerful than you. Now, we alluded to this up in the 10th house, up in the beginning of the reading, when I was back up there earlier on, talking about the 10th house, of needing to be able to work with people in power such that you can meet them on a real level where they recognize something of themselves in you, and where you are asserting your leadership not in a way that is rebellious, but in a way that is progressive. And there's a huge difference. And there are plenty of things in your astrology right now that could lead you to be rebellious. And it is so crucial that you know the difference between rebellious and progressive, and that you work that difference. And that I would say that on the whole, you need to be about one part rebellious for every seven parts progressive. And progressive almost always involves a real honoring of tradition, because you have to know the tradition that you are changing. So it's not about a kind of a radical intervention so much as it is understanding that change is either incremental or it is large changes precipitated by many small ones. It's something like change catching up. You have both of these going on, but there's a certain kind of change that is catching up with you now that is leading to this condition of great progress being possible. But it looks like one of the most important kind of agenda items of these seasons, and I definitely extend this reading all the way out to the end of 2016 because of the Uranus-Eris conjunction, is your ability to focus your reasoning process and to be fully present in the influence of those you perceive as powerful in your life. This largely has to do with partners. It has to do with standing up to partners and to establishing partnership on your own terms. And what that really comes down to for you is, kind of funny as it is to say it, human terms. Your partnerships need to work with you on the terms of your humanity, the terms of your personhood. I will post this chart. I'm not sure that you're the chart reading type, but it is very intriguing alignment at the time of the Cancer New Moon of Mercury conjunct Mars, exactly opposite Pluto. And that is kind of a confrontation, but it's a very focused confrontation. It is you being able to be precise, to focus your mind, and to gain control of your emotional body to the point where you can refine your feelings into an idea that you express that's very specific. And so there is no flailing or floundering in the presence of power or the influences of change. Rather, there is a need to call your mind to order, to be able to gather language and ideas and refine and focus them and speak directly to that powerful force, whatever it might be. And look, powerful forces can, you know, show up as you know the government saying it's okay to knock down the Berlin Wall, as happened in our lifetimes, and they can show up as the person that you want who intimidates you merely because they are so desirable and you want them so much. And of the two, I would say very likely the more formidable force of nature is the personal one, the one that is closer to home and closer to your feelings. And so this is where you are being summoned to be very clear about your feelings. And this kind of journey may have you very close to the line of control for yourself. And rather than staying well into the self-control zone, I'm going to suggest something maybe a little bit daring, which is that you move out to the edge of the self-control zone, that you go past the warning track, and that you experiment with the risky places, and that you learn a kind of self-mastery in those risky places, that you be able to work out on the edges of your energy, on the edges of your creativity, and by that I mean close to your limits, so that you know where your limits are, so that you may be able to exceed those limits. And this involves people. I mean, this involves where you go with people, where they take you, what you co-create with them, and the way in which you establish your own authority over yourself as a means of attaining a state of equality. Now, there's very little true equality, but we have a kind of a relative equality. We have a, you might call it equivalency thing, where we can be equal enough to get the job done. And the way that you are going to be equal enough to get the job done is in the form of emotional self-mastery. It can be very difficult. It can be very difficult if you are feeling anger. But I would say, speaking as a hot-tempered Sicilian, that the angrier you are, the cooler that you need to be. The more thoughtful, the more present, that you need to be able to say, I am pissed off, without emoting that being pissed off. Challenging, especially with so much Aries. Aries is prominent in your chart, and Aries, too, is hot-headed. And so this illustration in this chart, there's two magnificent ones. It's Mercury-Mars opposite Pluto. And then there is Sun Moon, exactly Quincunx Pholas. Pholas is this issue of the edge, of control, of the reaction that might run out of control. And so what I'm suggesting is that you experiment with, gain experience with, and confidence with all of your inner boundaries. You feel those boundaries, that you not stay so far in retreat that you never get to the actual place where the transactions within you and between others are actually happening, that you be able to see these reactions and experience them, observe them, and notice them so that you can gain confidence, experience, and self-control. Very important. And this whole Saturn retrograding back into Mars has some reminiscence of that. Now, speaking of Saturn retrograding, there is beautiful alignment in this chart between all of the planets gathered in Pisces, in particular Nessus, Neptune, and Chiron, a beautiful grouping in Cancer at the time of the new moon, Mercury, Mars, Sun, and Moon, and Saturn in Scorpio. And so this really does emphasize that for you, the emotional realm is the realm to have the investment in. You are, like most living things, driven by your feelings. You might say that working that line between emotions and feelings is going to be very fruitful for you. And this, I think, well, I probably could say a little more about that, but emotions tend to be what you emanate. Feelings are a receptive sense. And so when you are in feeling mode, you are essentially receiving. When you are in emotional mode, you are emitting. And there is this very fine line between the two. And you may be further or closer to that line, but there is that line, because it is almost always going to be the emotional body doing this. And it's that's one of the great things about being human, is we get to have these wonderful paradoxes and opportunities for endless experimentation. The Grand Water Trine talks about this feeling realm. And I will close with one more thought about Pluto, which is that Pluto in the seventh is often about the impact that others have on you. It is about your experience of their power. And this year, I think, above all the others in the history of Pluto in your seventh house, which goes back to 2007, you are learning to be precise about the way in which you respond to power. And what this gives you is the ability to directly engage and communicate with, exchange with power, rather than be subject to it, rather than wish you had some, rather than be a victim to it, rather than have to take it up and you use upon others, that you be able to directly engage, coexist, and co-create in a way that is fully cognitive, alert, aware, and I think most significantly does not leave out any important part of who you are, what you feel, or what you know. Okay, I'm going to call this good for now. I'm going to take a break, usually an overnight break, and sleep on all the things I have said, and I will prepare your tarot reading on Tuesday morning, and have astrology afterthoughts just before that, and get this thing into your hands. All right. Thanks for listening. A pleasure, as ever.